Hi, I'm Drew.
And I'm Sam.
And welcome to Drooling Semantics.
Hello, everyone.
Oh,
welcome.
Hello.
Welcome. Hello, Sam. Oh, look at you, looking all bright and bonny, looking very, very well.
Oh, that's very kind of you, mate. We're on off to a good start with some nice, friendly, welcoming chat. So obviously, we're giving an absolutely incorrect impression to anyone new that's joining us. They're going to think that we're bright, breezy, friendly, happy, when actually two grumpy blokes, one old, one older.
Neither of us any wiser, mate. Let's face it, neither any wiser.
No, yeah. the whole old dog's new tricks. I don't know about old blokes and new happiness. It doesn't seem to work.
But, mate, old blokes, new season.
Old blokes, new season.
We are.
Yes, indeed. So to anybody rejoining us after the many long-suffering seasons we've had before, welcome back to Drooling Semantics, and equally to anybody new, hello, welcome. This is my lovely friend Drew,
and this is my equally lovely friend Sam,
and we together are Drooling Semantics, two hard-working jobbing actors trying to make it in what is probably the world's oddest and most unpredictable industry.
I think you're probably right there, mate. Unpredictable, very definitely, and at times very, very strange.
Yes, indeed. So we are both from London in the UK, which I'm sure most of you know. But we are well aware that we do regularly get joined. People tune in to listen or to watch us, if you happen to be a YouTube connoisseur, from all over the globe. So to you lovely people joining us from pastures wide, I say hello, bonjour, ni hao, hi, hola, guten tag, konnichiwa, salam, hey, and all those other nice welcomey hello things. And Drew's looking at me like, what the fuck have you just done?
You've done research, you bugger. I was just going to say, guten Morgen, guten Abend, bonjour, whatever. You trumped me, trounced me. I suppose we ought to say, because, you know, we may very well have viewers from you know, New Zealand and Australia, where the World Cup is on at the moment. And by the time this goes out, we will know, you know, where our girls are and what has happened to the Lionesses. But
yes,
I suppose we should say, g'day, and we're sorry.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, we have, so we're recording this a couple of days before we go out, which is Sunday the 20th, which is the day of the World Cup final. And so yesterday, day before, we got through the semis, and we did indeed knock out the hosts, Australia.
Yeah.
So to you, we say sorry.
Not sorry.
But yeah, so good luck / congratulations / commiserations to our wonderful Lionesses. And that's probably just one of small moments where we will end up going completely off topic, talking about sport on a podcast, which is primarily about acting, modelling, singing, voiceover, performing, hosting events, all the kind of good stuff that goes into a performer's life and work in the world, in the industry of performance. Now, we do have to address something very important, Drew. Those people, lovely fans and followers who have been with us a long time, know that we have a tradition. It's not necessarily a tradition. It's just something we always do. And that is making sure we have a drink when we are on the airwaves. Now, I almost always have something golden, sparkly, bubbly, a nice lager. And I'm guessing you're either on coffee or tea. I'm going to guess you are on coffee. Is it coffee?
It's the other one. It's tea this morning.
50-50 chance and I fail. But anyway, cheers nonetheless. The wonderful upcoming, or the beginning of season 9. Cheers, everyone.
Indeed.
Yes. So, as said, this is season 9, our 9th outing, our 9th collection of what will be 15 episodes, which features a lot of us, which people tend to find all right, But more importantly, a lot of fantastic guests. And we have some brilliant, brilliant people already queued up and ready to go for this season ahead. I'm very, very much looking forward to it, mate.
Could I also say that, Sam, that we, although, you know, it might not look at it at times, we do a lot of planning, a lot of pre-production, goes into this, a lot of thought and care. And then we make it look like it's just off the cuff and, you know.
Seamless, yeah.
Seamless and, you know. But we do, if anyone wants to take part and think they would make a great guest, suggest yourselves. And, you know, it'd be lovely to hear from you anyway. And anything, you know, you say, I've got a mate who is, or, you know, a friend that my friend is, you know, she does this, he does that. If you think that would be great guests, we would love to hear from you because, you know, It is. We always say we like to think that we're an open forum, and you know, anybody, you know, works within the business or with, as Sam said, there are some fringes of the business that, you know, we've tried to include, and we would love to hear more of. So, any guests, any suggestions, bring it on. We love to hear from people.
Please do. So, as much as I say, we do have some amazing guests queued up. We obviously always have space for more. We're always more than willing to welcome people in. So, whatever part of the industry you might be from, or whatever sort of echelon and what direction you take that sort of connects to it in some way, please do get in contact. And equally, as Drew said, if you know someone, or I guess if there's someone out there that you think, oh, that person would be fantastic as a guest, let us know. We'll try and get in contact. We'll try and bring people on board. We've been very lucky over our past 8 seasons that we've had some fabulous, fabulous guests, brilliant people from all different areas, be that from makeup to stage work to comedians to musicians to producers to writers. We've every single different element you can possibly think of, we've kind of dived into and tried to bring sort of some awareness to that. But equally, we're sure there are little elements that we've missed, or not missed, but just not had the opportunity to yet. So yeah, please do get your suggestions coming in, as regular listeners have been very good at doing in the past, but keep them coming. We'll try and get some of those guests that you really want to see. And equally, we'll bring you some new exciting faces, people that you perhaps didn't expect, but are equally brilliant. So yeah, lots of fun guests to look forward to this season. Equally, and we say it every year, I say every year, every season, and we tend to, I was going to say fail miserably. I don't think we fail miserably. I think we just run out of time or opportunities. But we are going to go out and about and do some sort of behind-the-scenes stuff like we've done before. Those of you on YouTube will get to see new areas. Those of you just listening to us, you won't miss out either. It just means we'll be in a slightly different place talking about what we're getting up to. Now, both of us have some very exciting projects coming up, some of which we can talk about, some of which we can't just yet, but things will be revealed as we go along. But definitely we're going to be out there in the thick of it, shall I say, and we'll bring you some exciting exclusive content when we are out there doing what we do best, or doing what we do for a living anyway, I guess.
Yeah, doing what we do, what we can get away with, what we Sam, you've hit on a couple of things. I mean, we know we have an international audience, which is brilliant, and people from every area of the business. And you talk about new stuff, new work, new things happening. Very much in the news at the moment, obviously, is the Edinburgh Festival, is the Edinburgh Fringe Festival is taking part. And we've got some good mates that are up there at the moment doing very well. A friend of ours, Dave Bibby, he's got a new show on up there and doing enormously well. So, you know, it's always a little bit of a downtime at this time of year. It goes very quiet. Not a lot is happening. There are loads of things in development, but, you know, the country is top heavy with actors up in Scotland at the moment. You know,
the whole
thing has tilted slightly to the left, full of thespians and critics and creatives. But interestingly, and we always try to bring a little bit of news and a few news items. And there's one news item that pertains very much to the Edinburgh Festival, is that in many respects, and in some respects, in some venues, are seriously under threat. Now, we all know that the Edinburgh Festival is one of the world's, if not the world's biggest and best arts festival. And the Fringe has become, you know, for many actors and many performers, writers, creatives, a kickstart to their career, a stepping stone to careers and you know, forward projects. But because of rising costs, a lot to do with the unwelcome guest, for those of you that are just joining us, we have referred to COVID as the unwelcome guest in the past, which kicked off Drooling Semantics. That is still having an effect on on venues and performers. Certainly, the fuel costs have not helped venues. So a lot of venues up in Edinburgh that work on a shoestring are still going this year. Some have closed, some aren't in evidence. And I think it brings it to home in a microcosm that just how fragile, but just how big an industry, how important an industry it is. And like many industries at the moment, it's you know, we are suffering. We're still recovering from the unwelcome guest. We're still forging forward. That said, there are theatres opening. There are companies thriving. So it's not a whinge, but it's just a sort of, it's interesting how something as big as the Edinburgh Fringe, you thought that, you know, or the Edinburgh Festival itself, you thought that would be almost untouchable and survive because of the number of people that go and watch or and participate as performers. It's a very, very, you know, very thin line. It's a knife edge for many performers and creatives.
Hi, everyone. Drew and I are going to take a quick break.
But in the meantime, take a listen to this.
You still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man.
Y'all
trying,
already?
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm trying to get them on there. Yeah. We all artists, man. We go, you feel me? We gonna have this like,
bro, me and my man Kyle, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit right now. I gonna lie, we play with this shit right now for real. I gonna lie.
Don't play with it, take that shit seriously.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because as you alluded to there, Drooling Semantics started during lockdown because you and I were struggling, and I think it's fair to say that, struggling from sort of a mental health point of view, like a lot of people were, because we didn't have the contact. I mean, particularly in our field of work, you are always surrounded by people, so you are always able to communicate and spend time with people and share experiences. And that was obviously taken away from us for all the right reasons. I'm not suggesting that it wasn't the right thing to do, but it was quite a shock to the system. And particularly, you and I are very, very close friends, have been for a long time. And up until the point we were joined by the unwelcome guest, we probably hadn't gone a week without working together. Probably once or twice a week, every week for probably 2 or 3 years almost prior to this sort of kicking off. So it was a big shock to the system, and it was something that we decided we needed to do something about. We wanted to have a bit of a moan, a bit of a chat, a bit of a laugh, and we were doing that on Zoom or over the phone anyway, and then discovered that actually, or decided is probably more accurate, that some of the things we were talking about were probably quite interesting. So we almost offered it out to friends and family and general public in the medium of a podcast. And we discovered that people very much enjoyed it. But what it was primarily was a way of almost emphasizing how important the arts are and how much they could be missed and how under-supported they are in certain ways. And where we've come to now, fast forward a couple of years, is COVID and the unwelcome guest are not in evidence in quite the same way. People are still getting it all the time. What with vaccinations and other precautions, it's almost treated kind of like as a standard thing now. It's just like getting the flu is something you just get on with.
Yeah.
But as you say, the performance and entertainment industry is still in recovery mode. We were not like shops where we could just all of a sudden just open the doors again and pick up where we left off. That wasn't the case. We had to rebuild. And the irony is we almost got to a point where things were starting to look up, and then financial crash, like a big issue with inflation, and because of the war in Ukraine, money was affected. Things like supply, because obviously now can't get supplies from Russia for all the right reasons, but things like that. So it's almost like we just risen from the ashes of one to be struck down again.
Yeah.
I'm going around the houses on this, but what I was kind of getting to is the fact that, as you say, Edinburgh Festival is probably the biggest of its kind in the world, and gets immense support. However, on the flip side, yes, a lot of venues are struggling. A lot of people are struggling because accommodation, everyone's probably aware, accommodation during Edinburgh Festival up in Scotland is absolutely ridiculous. It's almost nonsensical. It's like I compare it to, now I haven't got children, neither have you, but I have a lot of friends who do, and they talk all the time about, and I'm going to name drop here, and I'm sure there are lots of other places, but this is one that comes up all the time, Centre Parks. Outside of school holidays, a family can go on holiday and spend, let's put an imaginary figure, something like, I don't know, £500 on a week in Centre Parks, something like that. Hit school holidays and it's up to like 1,500 to grand.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's supply and demand, isn't it? And they know it's going to be a lot more. Absolutely. So they can do that. And that's what Edinburgh accommodation is like during
As Edinburgh fills up with performers, you know, the people who live in Edinburgh leave, rent their accommodation, their flats, their houses out. I mean, you know, Airbnbs in Edinburgh are just, they become ridiculously priced. But there are thousands of them, and they fill because when you're up there, you have to have. Mm. I mean, I've been up to Edinburgh several times. I've lived in a tent and a camper van, a flat. I slept on a floor in a warehouse, all sorts of things. But in every case, it was bloody expensive.
Yeah, exactly.
You did it.
Exactly. But so what I'm trying to say is the fact that things are hugely expensive right now across the board. So it is quite difficult to support what is essentially a luxury, to be able to go and watch comedy and watch shows and enjoy yourself at a festival. But what is heartwarming is that people are doing it and they're pushing. And despite there being financial issues all over the country, all over the UK and globally, of course, people are still going, no, we need entertainment. We need comedy and theatre and film, and the support has been phenomenal despite everything. So it's a 50-50 situation. People are definitely struggling, venues are struggling, and some sadly will not recover or will not survive.
Yeah,
but as performers, and I speak on behalf of all of us, we are immensely grateful for those people that do continue to support despite the difficulties, because without support, we are nothing. But equally, without entertainment and theatre and film and TV and radio and podcasts and print and books and God knows what else you want to put in that group, where's the fun?
It'll be a very silent world, and as you say, a very, very depressed and unfunny world. But we're only vital when we're not there.
Yeah.
You know, there was that big thing of, like, you know, when we were seeking support, you know, are the arts viable? There was are you viable? And I think we've proved, you know, during that time and after that we are. I mean, I there was one story, and I'm not going to go into too many details because of the subject matter, but there's one performer, and they are in Edinburgh at the moment, and I think it's a hint of how a demonstration of how desperate money is for performers, how passionate performers are, and how important performing is to people is that there's a performer up there doing a show, and they have self-funded, and some of that money has come via, and this will open up, I'm sure, floodgates of, you know, of opinion, but some of that money has come through sex work. Now,
wow.
I know. And my mind immediately goes, well, that's a desperate thing to do. Or that's a, no, now desperate is But I think as performers, sometimes we are desperate to perform and we shouldn't be surprised. I don't think we should be surprised because there are very many. You can crowdfund, there are all sorts of online ways of getting money to perform. And I'm not saying it's a great idea, and I don't approve or disapprove. It doesn't matter. So I'm not going to come down either way. But I can understand how someone with a project, with a passion, to put on a show would go, hang on a minute, I think I know how to make some money. If I'm going to say anything, I think it's extraordinarily brave. Whether they've come out with that story as a means of publicity, I don't know. The story is out there. I'm not going to give publicity to that because my point of this is money is difficult to get hold of, and a performer has been pushed quite far to raise money. Rightly or wrongly, I don't know. I have my own opinion. But whatever, I think whatever happens, it's enormously brave. And I can only hope for that creative, that performer, that it pays off, because it would be I think if to put yourself in that extreme position and then it not work, I hope it's a good product. I hope they have a great time. And I hope whatever happens, it's worth that. I'm going to say it's sacrifice.
I mean, you use the word extreme, and I think obviously that is a very good way of putting it. Drastic is probably
drastic.
Drastic measure that this person, this individual has taken. I want to add to your what you were saying and say I hope they are staying safe, because obviously that is highly important as well.
Absolutely.
It shows an immense level of commitment. It also potentially shows great business sense. I mean, we know there are lots of people out there who sell themselves in the form of pictures or video or whatever, and are making quite the living, shall we say. So maybe it's a very savvy move, but it's certainly extreme. It's certainly drastic.
Sorry to interrupt there, but they also tagged it with, should I have had to go to these levels to put on a show? That's an interesting question in itself. You know, how far, what do you do if you have a product? You know, should there be more funds available for the arts to put on work? Of course, there should be more money for everything. But there comes a you know, one has to draw the line somewhere and say, yeah, maybe that was a bit, or should, I don't know, what's the yardstick on good work? Getting things on stage, you know, what one man's meat is another man's poison. So what I think should be funded, you might go, Drew, you must be bloody mad, mate, you know, and vice versa.
I do regularly, but I know absolutely what you're saying. The devil's advocate to that would say, well, no one forced you. You have made that decision, because if we were talking about someone going, I've had to turn to that kind of work to pay my mortgage or to feed my children, then we're in a very different scenario altogether. But we at Drawing Semantics try to stay impartial as possible. We like to give opinions, but we will always make everyone aware that those are our opinions. And we will try and get both sides to every argument and look at all the facts and all the everything that's involved. But that's certainly an interesting one to bring up to open season 9.
It ran, you know, because we talked about you know, the festival and it was one of those things. And one hears, you know, stories of you know, struggle and dedication all the time. But I thought that one was an interesting story. And as you say, I mean, I'm not judging anyone. And we're not judgment on here, as you say.
No.
We'll try and find the heads and tails of each argument. But it did strike me as a very interesting story.
It's a damn good opener, mate. It really is. just promise me one thing. You're not going to do that.
Mate, I'd have to pay them. That's all I can say. I mean, you know.
Wow.
If anyone is watching this on YouTube, and I sincerely hope you are, I mean, and if you're not, flip over to YouTube and go, yeah, you're right, Drew. Yeah. And I'd want change from a fiver. You know what I mean?
Yeah, bloody hell. I think that's probably a perfect place to leave it, mate. Now, obviously, this episode has been short and sweet, as is my wonderful podcasting partner. Hey, how's that?
Well done. Thank you very much.
But next week, we're going to return full-length episode with our fabulous first guest of season 9. It's one you do not want to miss.
Yeah, I'm going to love this guest. Yeah. I'm going to really love this guest.
Really, really special episode. We're incredibly lucky to have had this person on the show with us. Or to have this person on, I should say. We're not there yet, although you might be watching this in the future. Who knows?
That's true. At this point, yes. Yeah.
We might be old and grey. Oh, hang on. At this point, I might be old and grey. And there we go. We managed to almost get through a whole episode, Drew. But
that's
no,
why
there
I didn't
it
let
was.
You see that. How big a hole is he going to dig and throw me in?
On that note, I am going to raise my pint to my wonderful partner in crime, Mr. Drew Fettis. Thank you so much for being back with me, mate. And that thank you extends to every single person tuning in, listening, watching, messaging, sharing, whatever you happen to be doing. Thank you so much. Welcome back to Drawling Semantics. If you're new, welcome to Drawling Semantics. Drew and I will be back next week with our first guest of season 9.
Take care, everyone. See you then.
See you later. Ta-da. Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Drawling Semantics.
Please make sure you subscribe to be notified every time a new episode is released. We're available on all good platforms or directly through our RSS feed.
Don't forget to follow us on social media, and you can even watch us on YouTube. All our links and handles are in the podcast details.
We love welcoming new followers and subscribers, so why not share with your family and friends so they can join in too? Thanks very much. See you next time.